It's time for the Outdoor Show with Craig Campo on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Also streaming live at KFARradio.com. Sponsored by the Campo Family, helping Alaskans having fun in the outdoors since the 1940s. And now your host, Craig Campo.
I said, where I come from, a little west of Chicken, where I come from, don't take your federal dickin', where I come from, trying to find some protein, and working hard to fill the freezer, where I come from. That park tried to ride me up, got tired of his bitchin', I fired up my bloody truck, must be in me the glitchin'. Well, I hit the gas and left his ass, the corner's where he missed it. He flipped his truck, and in my rig I only dropped some briskets. Cause where I come from, a little west of Chicken, where I come from, gonna go down kicking, where I come from, trying to find some protein, and working hard to fill the freezer, where I come from. Chasing sun at 101, smell of moose meat lingered. Ran out of gas, well, kiss my ass, I had to use my finger. A large woman stopped and asked if I had plans for dinner. I said, no thanks, ma'am, back home, we like our squaws a little thinner. Cause where I come from, a little west of Chicken, where I come from, we don't take that federal dickin', where I come from, trying to find some protein, and working hard to fill the freezer, where I come from. Was heading home about 85, the road was wet and mucky. I stopped off at the outpost, cause I thought I might get lucky. I bought a drink, the lady asked if I was in some danger. No, but you might just read about one pissed off Charlie Ranger. Where I come from, a little west of Chicken, where I come from, gonna go down kicking, where I come from, trying to find some protein, and working hard to fill the freezer, where I come from, a little of Chicken, where I come from, don't take no dudgeon dickin', where I come from, trying to find some protein, and working hard to fill the freezer, where I come from, where I come from, yeah, where I come from, gonna go down kicking. We don't get in the Ziploc, where I come from.
Yeah, we don't beep in a Ziploc. I had to try and beep that. That's Roger McGill with a little west of Chicken. I wrote that a few years ago. And it's our group, the Laundry House Gang, was always fighting with the Park Service, like a lot of Alaskans who think it's all their territory. And a guy that used to be the head of the Park Service here in Fairbanks, Greg Dudgeon, no longer in Fairbanks, moved on to, I think, Mount Rainier area, thank God. But you know, they just bring in another ultra lib to run that department. You ever drive by there on parks, on the parks across from university, that building, 65 employees, I think it's a huge building, maybe more, I don't know. You know, all winter long, 45 below, You got all employees, all them cars sitting out there, half of them running. So, yeah. Anyway, not a big fan of the Park Service, never have been. They do some good things. I think the Park Service, if I remember right, is the chief agency for the Arlington Memorial back east in D.C., and that's very well run. But, yeah, managing, trying to manage wildlife and restrict traditional uses and subsistence way of life. And I remember a few years back when there was a couple of wolves when the state was doing aerial predator control, and they were doing a good job of it. Two collared wolves ran outside of the park onto state land and were immediately hit from the air, eliminated. And the Park Service had some comment about those were our wolves. So, okay, yeah. Yeah, I don't think so. But anyway, my least favorite agency. I'm not a fan of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. I remember a guy named Jeff Haskett was the head of that agency. And I remember going to there was a big fight on Unimak Island about the caribou. The federal government was extremely overreaching, and they were trying to control the a lot of the biology out there. And there was a big meeting where the locals all testified about the importance of the food for them. This guy, Greg Haskett, was sleeping. He was literally snoring. We got pictures of him sleeping during this meeting where locals were testifying, because they, you know, they had no other real food source. So anyway, just, a lot of these agencies we've battled heads with the Laundry House Gang. We've done it all the time. We've won some big battles, over the years, taking wildlife issues off the ballot box was a big one. We had a big vote on that, and that's, I think, back when Ralph Seekins was in. I think he was the one that sponsored it. Laundry House Gang, that group, basically wrote that law. Remember how you used to go to the fair and they'd be getting signatures, don't kill the wolves or don't do this. People from outside were getting paid up to $4 a signature to collect signatures to fight our way of life is what it was. They're funded by, you know, PETA and Friends of Animals and all these left-wing East Coast groups that are really good at doing one thing, and that's raising money. And then they send these kids around. I remember me and a buddy, a guy that worked for me, Rodney Vesper, we were at the fair one year, and right across from our booth was their booth where they were collecting signatures, and vulnerable people would go, oh, yeah, save the wolves, save the whales, and they'd sign this stuff. So they'd get all these signatures, and they had this stack one day. It was a Friday afternoon or something. They had like 30 pages of signatures. And so Rodney and I almost did this. We were gonna get two of us to go into a fist fight right in front of these guys and see if they would try and break it up and set their clipboard down while one of the other guys would go take off with the clipboard and get rid of a couple thousand signatures. But we never did it, but we almost did. I can't tell you how close we were to doing it. Rodney and I were going to start brawling, but we never did that. Anyway, life goes on. Life has changed in Alaska. There's a lot of things. A lot of things have changed. A lot of people, you know, we sold our business about a year ago. I guess not even a year. It was September, after 80 years. And one of the things I was really proud of was we actually, myself and Dudley Banesh from Alaska Mining and Diamond, we wrote Alaska's Lemon Law for which protects buyers and sellers of boats, outboards, snow machines, ATVs, and so forth, if there's a defect that you can't fix or is unfixable at a factory. And I'll tell you what spurred this on for me. This was 2008. We were working on this, 2007. It cost $140,000, and most, just a very small handful of dealers, the bigger dealers, chipped in and paid the fee. We had Coghill carried it through the Senate. And it took 2 years, so it was really difficult because they're in the middle of the oil talks. So it was really tough to get that done. And it was a thick document. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. But what had happened that really got me going is an outboard motor company that we were selling came out with a brand new motor, I think around 06 or something. And it was all new technology. It was radically new. They kind of force you to buy them. You don't have to buy as many as they tell you, but if you don't, you're penalized financially through no free shipping and a bunch of other no return program, all kinds of disincentives. But anyway, so we went up and we stood up and we bought a bunch of 115s and 150 horse outboards. Turned out these things were a nightmare. They were just a nightmare. And we had to, because we did this on our own, we had sent some out to the villages and they couldn't keep them running. So we bought them back, paid the freight back. Not fun. But, you know, we had customers for years out there. We weren't going to just say, sorry, we didn't build it. You know, no customer wants to hear that. But anyway, we had sold quite a few locally, and at least they could bring them back to the shop and would do whatever repairs the factory suggested and change the spark plugs to a different type and reprogram the ECMs and all this stuff. Well, what wound up happening is they couldn't fix them. And so they literally, and these are motors we paid. I think our cost on the 115s at the time were like $7,000 to $8,000, and the cost on the 150s were around $11,000. They finally, the manufacturer, who's now out of business, said, okay, here's the deal. If you tear the data tag off of them and crush them, in other words, destroy the motors, tear the data, send us the data tag, we'll give you $2,000 per data tag. And we said, are you kidding? And after it was all said and done, we actually did that because the option was worse. You put them out, you can't part them down. There's problems. There wasn't enough of them around to sell the parts off of. So we were really getting hosed as a dealer. And at the same time, all these manufacturers were paying the dealers on a minimum warranty charge. Like if somebody brought something for 20 minutes. Now in Alaska, you got to bring it in. You got to thaw it out. That costs money right there. You've got to diagnose it. You got to write up the customer. You've got to pay the mechanic. You've got to look up the parts. You've got to do all this stuff. And they're going to give you 0.3 of an hour. 0.3 of an hour. So anyway, we just decided, no way in hell, we're not going to put up with this. And that's about the time for 25 years, we'd say, you guys got to get real on your warranty reimbursement. We are getting screwed here. And what would happen is, if there was a problem, you had to chase away good revenue, the regular oil changes and track swaps and things like that. You had to chase that away because you were so busy doing factory warranty for pennies on the dollars. And it was really, really painful. And, it was invisible to the customer usually, but except the ones you had to say, I can't work on it for 10 days because we're backed up so bad. You don't tell them it's because there was a problem with a certain manufacturer. And it can happen with any manufacturer. We get it, but you got to pay fair. So that was also part of our legislation in 2009. And I want to talk a little bit more about that after the break. But it was eventually signed when Sarah Palin was governor, and it was signed. It was unanimous in the House and Senate. It was a unanimous when it went through. And I don't know of any other bills that are unanimous, but that one was, because once we told our story, went to Juneau and testified. Once we told stories like the one about the outboards, I testified on that and how much it cost us and how unfair it was and so forth. And then also to protect, I'll talk more about protecting the customer. If you have a problem with a purchase of a boat, motor, snow machine, ATV, something like that, you do have an alternative. I mean, obviously, you want to work with your local dealer. Try and get them to fix it. I've had people even, if you can't fix it at one dealer, go to the other, or go to Anchorage if you had to. But try and work with your local dealer. He's your closest resource. But I want to talk a little bit about what to do if you have a defect that remains unfixed after a certain number of attempts. And there is a law that we got put through in 2009. So it's been there a while. Not a lot of people know about it, but we'll talk about it after the break. So stick around and we will see you in 90 seconds.
The Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio will return right after this.
For more than 75 years, the go-to outdoor business in Fairbanks has been Compo's. Bob Compo Sr. first opened the doors on 12th and Cushman in 1945. A lot has changed since then, but one thing hasn't changed. Compo's passion for getting you outdoors and away from the rat race. And their business philosophy can be wrapped up in a few words Bob Sr. used to say. And that's, treat people right and they'll tell a few others. Treat them poorly, and they'll tell a few dozen. Compo, on Boat Street, doing business in Fairbanks since Harry Truman was president.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Explore Fairbanks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to the Compo's Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio.
All right, thanks for tuning in, Fairbanks. This is Craig with the Outdoor Show. If you listen to the break, I'm not sure if they're going to have fixed it when they edit this, but when I was out of town doing some recordings, they used the old intermissions talking about Compo's and the store and 4122 Boat Street. And so they inadvertently used, they must not have deleted those when we sold the business, because we had a new one and now the old one's back on there. So I'm not sure if you listen to that, we are not open. People say, I wish you were, but no, we're not open. Compo's is not open. We have Boat Street Storage now. We'll be talking about that a little bit later in the hour too. So if you're looking for a place to store your boat or vehicle, your car indoors over the winter, we're gonna start that process again, at least get people on the list. It doesn't take a deposit or anything. We'll just start collecting names, and then in the fall we'll give you a call and make sure you're still interested. So anyway, that's different. But anyway, before the break, I was talking about the lemon law, the Alaska lemon law, AS 45271 to 220. Anyway, this is the law. It protects buyers of new boats, outboards, snow machines, and ATVs if a defect remains unfixed after a reasonable number of attempts within the first year. And so we were talking a little about how that legislation came to be and our experience we had with a manufacturer that was kind of predatory and really cost a lot of dealers a lot of money. So we just decided to hell with it. Enough is enough. We're going to fight back. Myself and one other dealer really spearheaded the thing. We worked on it for about 2 years. Actually, over 2 years, but it took 2 years to get through the legislature because of the oil talks that were going on. It wasn't a priority, but it was for us and customers. But anyway, so the key aspects of this Alaska Marine Power Sports Lemon Law is that what it covers. It covers new boats, outboards, gasoline motors, boat packages, ATVs, and snow machines. So that's the items that it covers. There was really only one or two other states, I think Louisiana and maybe Michigan, that had anything to use as a template or to look at. And that basically, those were two states that were getting reimbursed fairly on warranty situations and had some sort of a plan for if you had some sort of an issue that wasn't fixable. So Those are the items that were covered, the boats, motors, snow machines, basically, ATVs. Now, what it didn't cover used vehicles. You know, that's usually the dealer can offer a warranty or sell as is for used vehicles. We always offered a 60-day warranty, 100% parts and labor. At least it gave you the a little comfort that, hey, this thing, if you know, it runs good 60 days, it's probably going to keep running good if I maintain it. You never know with the equipment. We would always, if something happened outside that 60 days, we would at least, you know, do parts, no labor, or do something that we could to help the customer out, so forth. But that's up to the dealer. It doesn't cover used vehicles, and it doesn't cover watercraft that aren't powered. Obviously, kayaks, canoes, you know, there's no power there. And so what constituted a lemon, a quote lemon, is a significant defect that continues to exist after the manufacturer or dealer has tried to fix it three or more times, or if the product is out of service for a total of 30 or more business days. Okay. So basically, and that has to be within the warranty period, which is usually 1 year. Now, you can have what they call extended warranties, but they're not. They're really extended service contracts. They're not a warranty. You're buying or you're being promoted with a factory promotion, an extended year, two or three. But that isn't considered under the original factory warranty. So these problems have to occur under the original factory 1 year, usually 1 year warranty. It's whatever the warranty is the manufacturer comes out. It could be 3 years on an outboard. Some manufacturers did a 3 year standard warranty, and then you could buy up to four more, five more, whatever. If it's out of service for 30 days, that would be it. It says on the time limit, the defect must occur during the express warranty period or within 1 year of delivery, whichever comes first. And then you've got to send in a notice via certified mail to the manufacturer and dealer within 60 days of the warranty ending or within 60 days after the 1 year mark. So that's the required action. Usually what happens is if there's a really weird problem that can't be resolved, and dealers can handle it differently. They can exchange the product if they want, but then they've, you know, it's their problem at that point, which a lot of times is what we wound up doing just because we'd have time to work on it later, which always seemed to be a year later, but that was our issue. But sometimes you just have, with all the advancement in electronics and the ECMs and the trigger coils and the brain boxes, all the electronic fuel delivery, the electronic exhaust, everything sensors. There's so many more sensors. I think on a new Ford truck, they said there's 107 sensors. It's not a whole lot different on snow machines. There's a lot of sensors to protect the equipment and so forth. But the more of those you put on there, the more chance of a defect or a problem or a bad wire or a bad connection. So that really causes problems on some equipment that are harder to diagnose. You can put the test equipment on, it tests good 1 minute, but it might not test good going 40 miles an hour down the trail, and it's hard to hold a laptop on a snow machine going down the trail at 40 miles an hour. So there are some challenges from the dealer, and a lot of the customers understand that. Some don't. They just say, you know, you're trained, fix it. So anyway, you can run into some problems. So, but you're also in communication with the factory. If you can start a case, say, look, we've done these recommended things and normal things that you're trained to do. It hasn't fixed. And of course the factory sees a lot more from different dealer reports. So they can say, well, you might want to just replace the throttle position sensor. It looks like it tested good, but it could be a bad one and whatever. So you've got to do that. Now do cases. Well, it takes a few days, sometimes a week or longer, for them to get back on a case to respond. So the machine's sitting there. Dealer has the option of doing a demo program or a loaner program if it's something that the customer really needs. It's not just a toy. It's actually a work vehicle, or they got to go check traps or something. So we tried to be as generous as we could with that. But you can do that, but you can't do that forever. We wouldn't charge for that service. They'd have to sometimes get their own insurance, which was just a matter of transferring it from the vehicle that was down in the shop. So you try to be amenable to what you can to keep your customers, but it was difficult. It can be difficult. And then sometimes, even with the factory assistance, it's just a bastard child. I'm telling you. I mean, it can be a little a glitch in the harness somewhere that can just be erratic, and you can change the harness and it works good for a while, and then the problem moves somewhere else. It's just gremlins, we call them. So, but anyway, the steps you're supposed to take, you want to document everything. If you have this problem, keep all your repair records, receipts, communication logs. You want to send certified mail. So if you're notifying the manufacturer and the dealer, use certified mail, detailing any defects and repair attempts, conversations, and so forth. And then there's a final repair attempt. The manufacturer has 30 days to make a final attempt to fix the issues. If the issue persists, you are entitled to a comparable unit or a full refund of the vehicle. So there is a plan there. It's, you know, and fortunately, in all the years from 2009 to last year, we never once had to use that. Maybe once, and it was out of our hands anyway. It was a really weird issue that the factory just kind of took over and said, "We'll take care of this." So we didn't even get involved with any of it, other than just kind of doing a handoff and the customer got a new product one time. Most of the times we resolved it. It was difficult sometimes, and expensive sometimes, but not as expensive as before the law. The other thing, and on the refund, it's the way they word that, if the issue persists, you're entitled to a complete new unit or a full refund minus a reasonable allowance for use. So, you know, if you had 4,500 miles on in the first year, you're going to get dinged for some usage. But that's only fair, I guess, because, you know, you got some use. It's not like you bought it, you put 30 miles on it, and you never get it to run. That would constitute a full refund, I'm sure. Anyway, We were able to get retail labor. So the same guy that brings a machine in to get his oil changed, he's paying the same hourly as the factory's paying the same as him now. They didn't like that. Of course they didn't. Cost him money. And it's only in a few states, I think. Otherwise they pay a much lower rate. BRP was pretty good about paying you fair if you were platinum, so you get paid good. So that was good. And then retail on parts too. We were originally, you know, the parts were just at cost, you know, so you didn't make it. So you're forced to order all these parts, carry all the parts, sit on them if they didn't turn. And when the factory got them, they got them at cost. So that was changed to retail. And we got a 1-hour administrative labor charge, you know, I think it was around $100 or $120 or something like that at the time. So anyway, that is kind of the short history of the dealer legislation that we came out with in 2009. If you've got a problem, like I said at the start, try and work with your dealer. He wants you running up and down the road, down the trail. He doesn't want you, nobody likes involving all this legal stuff. And it's, you know, there's a process there if it's really, really bad. But otherwise, work with your dealer. Try and get, you know, be as patient as you can, but be persistent. Greasy wheels sometimes does get greased. Although may not be covered under warranty. Yeah, so anyway, that's kind of the show today. I didn't know what I was going to talk about, but I had some old customers asking me about stuff about that. And there is a venue out there. You can look it up on State of Alaska. Just look up, and there was a Lemon Law for cars, but I think it's called the Marine and Power Sports Lemon Law. So you can look that up if you need to. But in the meantime, I always try and work with the local dealers. One last thing I want to mention, I did a Facebook post last week about a certain grocery store in town that I'm really frustrated with. I won't use their name, but their big wheels are in town this week. And I made a Facebook video, got a lot of comments on it. And it's just about fix your SH, blah, blah, fix your stuff. Everything at the store. I mean, every time you go in there in the winter, the numbers are worn off. You know who I'm talking about. The numbers are worn off the gas pumps. You can't even see them. You're waiting half a minute to a minute at 25, 30 below, standing out waiting for the pumps to work. The carts don't go straight. The wheels look just worn, and everything's worn out. Everything's broken. See cashier for a receipt. Anyway, this week, the big wheels are in town. So if you're at one of these stores, you see somebody in a suit that looks like they're real important, go get in their face. Say, come on, guys. One of their stores is the biggest one out of 2,700 in the country, and they still can't spend a nickel to fix this stuff. So anyway, just my 2 cents. This is Craig with the Outdoor Show. We'll see you next Saturday.
You have been listening to The Outdoor Show with Craig Campo on KFAR Radio. Streaming live at KFARradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past episodes, simply click on the Outdoor Show in the Archives tab on the website.